The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God.
And that's going to be the topic for today's show on Exploring the Word. Hi, I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Brother Bert Harper. It's my pleasure to be with Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex is in his home studio today, I believe, as he has been instructed to take the weekend off. So I'm pretty safe in saying that you're in North Carolina. Is that correct?
A very chilly North Carolina, 28 degrees this morning, Jim.
Wow. Hey, I got an email from Dr. Alex McFarland just a moment ago, and it says 15 days away, join us. What would you like us to join you for?
Well, thank you for asking, and praise the Lord. Thanks for mentioning that. Well, you know, everybody listening, I'm sure, most everybody knows that we have a national treasure called Todd Starnes. And Todd is a journalist, a pundit, a commentator, and he's a dear, dear brother in Christ and a really great thinker. And so we're bringing him to North Carolina for an evening, and I'll be speaking and Todd will be speaking. And also we're going to be talking about all of our crusades around the country with Truth for a New Generation and our youth camp. And so if anybody wanted to come to Greensboro, 6:30 on March 21, and hear Todd Starnes in person, they could go to truthforanewgeneration.com, and that's F-O-R, truthforanewgeneration.com. So thanks for mentioning that, Jim.
All right. My pleasure, brother. As we know, Bert's out this week preaching some evangelistic services, and we are praying for him as he does that in Georgia. And then this weekend, he'll be in Jackson, if memory serves correctly. My producer's looking at it. What? This weekend, Friday and Saturday? Gulfport.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yes,
I sit corrected. Right. However, he is away, and we do want to pray for him and pray that the Lord would use him mightily, and he and Jan both, in that marriage conference this weekend and in the services that they're doing right now. Now, today, as you could tell, the opening was a little different for Exploring the Word, and we did that on purpose because what we're going to talk about today, you know, normally we talk about the things that unite us and not the things that divide us. And today we're going to take a little different twist on that because we want to talk about the security of the believer or the insecurity of the believer. I put a post up earlier today to let folks know what we were going to be doing, and I had a couple of responses from that, and it, you know, they were good, and we appreciate the interaction there. But we're gonna tackle this in such a way that we're gonna be respectful. Later, when we take your phone calls, we're still gonna be respectful, but we're going to teach what we believe the Bible teaches about basically this. And when I talk about the security of the believer, there are a lot of different slogans, if you will, for that. Once saved, always saved. And then you have the, oh mercy, it slipped my mind. Alex, you and I had talked about that. And
well, like Arminian.
The Arminian. But there's another phrase for once saved, always saved, and it goes along with the overcoming of the believer.
Perseverance
of the saints. Yes. And then we do have the Arminian background folks who think that you can fall away. And so before you and I get into this, you have a dear friend that you respect enormously, And while I have not had the pleasure to meet him personally, I hold his teaching in very high esteem. And we're going to listen to how Dr. Aaron Lutzer answered the question about the security of the believer.
Jesus made the statement, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Now, what would you think if you had a shepherd who was given 100 sheep in the morning and came back in the evening with 95? I don't think that we'd respect a shepherd like that. Oh, but they had such free will, and they were so stubborn. Well, yes, but we would say, no matter how stubborn, you get them back by hook or by crook. Now, notice what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and then he says, they are held in my hand, and he says, they are held in the hands of my Father. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. And I and my Father are one. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that we are also held in the hands of his Father. I preached a message at Moody Church one time entitled, Hands in Harmony, the hand of the Son and the hand of the Father together holding his sheep. And what we need to recognize is that when the Father gives the Son sheep, the Son brings them all the way home. He doesn't lose any in the process.
That's beautiful.
That was, wasn't it? And so, Alex, I want to let you take, and you have some very strong teaching on this as well with some scriptures. And so before we do this, we're going to open this program with prayer, and we're going to close this program with prayer. So before we start, would you just pray for the covering of the Holy Spirit on this program today, that what we teach will be heard and that they'll actually hear what we're saying and not just the parts they want to hear. Would you do that?
Let's do that, yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reality of salvation, that your Son died on the cross, shed his blood to wash our sins away, rose from the dead, and is coming again soon. And Lord, we thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that unifies the body. And so today, as Jim Stanley and I endeavor to teach on eternal security and the position we have in Christ, Lord, may we handle your holy word correctly. And Lord, may the Spirit of God open hearts and minds. And Lord, we give ourselves to you, and we want to speak truthfully and accurately what is your word, not ours. And Lord, I do pray you would use this radio broadcast to further your kingdom, to exalt your Son, the Savior, and to edify and equip the body that we can be salt and light to a world that needs to hear of Jesus. And we thank you for this time. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, brother, turn it loose.
Well, you know, this is one of those areas, folks, the eternal security of the believer. We get calls on this and questions, and I understand that. And Jim, I'm going to share a little bit about how I think God brought me to the position that I hold right now. But I want to be very clear. This is a topic, and while Jim Stanley and I have very strong feelings on this, and so does Bert Harper, this is a topic where equally good, godly, well-intentioned people can differ. And so we're not talking about saved or lost or heresy or orthodoxy here, because really the core of the gospel hangs on the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, the atonement, that he shed his blood to wash our sins away. And so, Jim, there, as I read scripture, I mean, you can have John MacArthur and Erwin Lutzer and Charles Stanley that would definitely believe in the eternal security of the believer, and I do, and you would have people that would deny it. And I've got friends that theologically would say, no, they don't believe in the eternal security of the believer. However, we're not talking about the authority of Scripture. We're not talking about the divinity of Jesus. And you can not believe in eternal security and still be born again and saved. But so this is not a point of orthodoxy necessarily. And we just want to say that if you disagree, we love you. We respectfully disagree on this. But I'll tell you, I was young in the faith, and I had a friend that had been a Christian longer than me, and he fell into sin, and I would have called it backsliddenness. But he told me, and we began to meet, and I began to talk to this friend, and he said he was not saved right now. And he had a good month that he was saved again, then he had a bad month that he was lost again. And I asked him, and again, Jim, I had only been a Christian about a year at that point, but I said, so if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And he said, no. And he said, you know, ultimately, nobody really knows for sure. And that caused me to start reading, and I remember I read a book by Charles Stanley that had blessed me a lot called Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? Charles Stanley talked about how he, early in his ministry, vehemently denied eternal security, or as some people say, once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. And then the more he studied the scripture, the more he was convinced that, no, if you're truly born again, you are secure in Jesus. And that is our position as well, that if you're a born-again believer, your sonship, and listen carefully, folks, sonship is the fact that you've trusted Christ and were born again. The rest of life is a question of fellowship. And Jim, I think there are people that, and again, let me just say this, in no way are we saying that it's okay just to live a sinful life and, hey, I'm saved, I'm secure, so, you know, caution to the wind. No, in fact, if you can sin and you don't even feel bad about it, and as a professed Christian, you're living a life characterized by disobedience and sin, I would say you need to go back and see if you were really born again. But I think what some people call losing your salvation is more an issue of fellowship than sonship. And it's sanctification versus backsliddenness. And so there are a lot of verses, but I'm going to give you one, and then, Jim, I'm going to throw to you. In Romans 5:10, it says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by His life.
Mm.
Jim, isn't it good? We're not saved by works, and we're not kept saved by works. It's all by Christ's finished work that we were drawn, convicted, converted, and preserved.
Amen. And Alex, those are good points, and I want to reiterate part of that there, in that we get into trouble when it's Jesus and. You know, that's when we begin to get into some of the heretical teachings, if you will. If the work of the cross, of the sacrifice of the Lamb, if that was not enough, then John was a liar. John the Baptist was a liar, because he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We'll talk more about this subject as Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio. Stick around.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for First Lady Melania Trump, who is speaking at a town hall meeting in Las Vegas about the opioid epidemic. As part of her Be Best campaign, the health and well-being of children is a priority for the First Lady. Proverbs 22:6 reminds us of the importance of raising our children properly and keeping them safe. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to lift up First Lady Melania Trump, that her words will have an impact on the community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Volume 2 of our daily prayer journal is now available. To receive your copy, go to pausetopray.org.
Many people think that being in the hands of God will land them in the lap of luxury. But Dr. Tony Evans says that's not what the Lord promised. We'll find out why the truth is even better news as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I need transportation. You need transportation. That is a legitimate need because we have to work. You don't need a Benz. You're living in a nice apartment, but you want a 5-bedroom, 4-car garage, 10-acre house. That is fine, but you better give thanks there is a roof over your head, that you're not sleeping under a bridge. Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content, because you got to learn it. It ain't natural. When you see all them other folk doing stuff you want to do and you getting all upset, you know. No. It must be gratitude. And you have now freed God up to interact with you. He said, I've learned to be content. And then he goes on to say, I have learned to be abased and abound. Abased means having little, and abound means having an abundance. I know how to make it on hot dogs and baked beans, and I know how to make it at Ruth Chris. Because whatever situation I'm in, I'm going to be thankful. Because I am not defining myself by my wants. I'm thankful for my needs.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
American Family Radio. Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Perfect summation. All is that I am my Savior and happy endless. Watching.
Earlier today, Brent and I were going through the different things that we wanted to do during today's program. And Alex, that song just seemed to resonate in my heart. And in so doing, it just was one of those things there that I thought that it would be really good to use it during the bumper music, if you will, for the Amen. Program today. And so we hope that you enjoy that as well. We've got the chorus to that coming up in just a little bit, but that is, of course, Blessed Assurance. And Alex, you know, that's one of the things we're talking about today. Now, you know, there, as we mentioned earlier, there's Armenian folks that come from an Armenian background, if you will. And so when we look at that, we have to be very careful. Here's a summation, if you will, and this is a doctrine from the Salvation Army. It's from their International Theological Council, but it's the doctrines of the Salvation Army. And of course, they came out of Methodist roots, which were, of course, based on Wesleyan Armenian background. Mm-hmm. And so here's what their doctrine says. It says that we believe that continuance in a state of salvation depends upon continued obedient faith in Christ, which brings us back to what we were talking about last segment. And understand, I was a Salvation Army officer. I grew up in a Baptist household as a young person, and then I was with the Salvation Army as a teenager and went to training college and became a minister with the Salvation Army. And so one of the questions that I was often asked there, and it was tongue-in-cheek, and my reply was tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, it was, are you having any problem with your Baptist background, you know, during school? And I said, no. I said, I don't have any problem with it. Some of my instructors do, but I'm good. You know, so it's...
That's funny.
It was one of those things, but the thought pattern there, that it's, for me, it comes back to what we said just, and folks, let me be very clear about this. I have dear friends with the Salvation Army. I have no doubt that they are saved to the uttermost. And I mean that. I have Catholic friends, and I have no doubt they're saved to the uttermost. You know what's going to happen when we come up to heaven, when we're taken up? And Alex has said this before. I've said this before. Bert said this before. Not only are we going to be surprised by who's in heaven, but we're going to be surprised for those that aren't in heaven. Yeah. So just and we're going to talk about baptism tomorrow. And so just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you've been saved.
That's right.
I want to be clear, because your name is on a church roll and you hold the Sunday school record for perfect attendance doesn't mean you're saved. But neither does it mean that you're not saved. Yeah. And I want to phrase that properly, because of how that doctrine presents itself. It goes back to what I've said. It cannot be Jesus and. Yeah. It's got to rest firmly on the foundation of Jesus, because his work is what was complete. Now, does that mean I don't need to do anything? Absolutely not. Alex, you know that I've preached from time to time. I've been a pastor from time to time. I've been an associate pastor. I've been the janitor. I'll do whatever I can, you know, for whoever needs it.
Same here.
And so I had the opportunity to do a revival in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I was invited to come and do this revival, and the person who I was talking to said, "Now, I need to warn you, we practice carnal Christianity, so you want to stay away from some of those topics." And I said, "Well, sir, I'm not the guy to come preach your revival."
Goodness, he used that phrase, carnal Christianity.
He did. And so,
oh my word.
You know, so I'm thinking carnal Christianity and the blood shed by Christ didn't equal up. Something was wrong there. But now, you know, I've had years to think about that. And every time I think back on that, I think maybe I missed an opportunity. They may have run me out of the church, but one thing would have been true is they would have heard the unadulterated gospel of Christ had I done that service. And so I've prayed for that church over the years, and I've not been back there, and I haven't seen any of those folks. Now, I want to be clear, it's not a church that I was a member at, because I was a member at a couple of churches there in Hattiesburg, and I've got dear friends that listen to this program. So it ain't y'all, as I can say in a great Southern voice there. But Alex, it has to be Jesus, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And, you know, there's two things. I'm thinking of another show we need to talk about. I love Ephesians 4:13 that's talking about that day when the bride is gathered up to heaven. Mm. And Ephesians 4:13 says, that we continue in the faith, listen, till we all come to the unity and to be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard into the head who is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been my privilege to preach all over the country, and you know, I have come, Jim, to love the body of Christ, the differences and all that. Now we all agree on Jesus, the risen Son of God. By Him alone, we're forgiven by His shed blood on the cross. But you know what? I grew up Presbyterian, and there's some things about Presbyterian theology that I've come to not like so much. But then there's things that I really appreciate, like the perseverance of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
I've preached revivals in a lot of Methodist churches, and hey man, you get Methodists that are on fire to win souls, and they are a force of nature. But you know, the fact is, none of us have perfect theology.
Right.
One day in heaven, we're gonna have all of our theological wrinkles ironed out. And so this, back to the topic at hand, the eternal security of the believer, let me just throw a few verses out here, and also not only verses, but the concept. Okay, think about it. When a baby is born into a family, a newborn, wonderful. Everybody loves the arrival of a child. And that child is going to grow up, and sometimes that child is going to please their parents. Sometimes that child is going to displease their parents. But it's still a member of the family because it was born. And I'll look at salvation that way. You know, in John 10, 28, 29, Jesus says of the believers, "I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish.
Mm.
Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand or snatch them out of my hand." So when you come to Christ, friend, I'll give you another verse that we love on this show, John 6, verse 40. Jesus said, "Whoever sees the Son and believes in Him will have everlasting life, and he will never perish, and I will raise him up at the last day. So when you turn to Christ, do you see the Son? He is the Son of God. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Lord, please save me. Okay, at that moment, you're born again. John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man must be born again. And literally, the wording means born from above. Okay, your position changes. You're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the rest of life, like Paul says in Romans 7, you know, Paul says, that thing that I want to do, I don't always do. That thing I don't want to do, I do. The flesh wars against the spirit. Paul says, you know, I'm a wretched man. Sonship is settled the minute that you trust Christ.
Amen.
Fellowship, though, is a day-by-day pursuit. Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, I'm going to say one last thing I want to throw to you. A verse we use in evangelism is really a verse that I think is more of our Christian growth than our outreach, and that's 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we use 1 John 1:9 in evangelism a lot, but really that was written to believers. And so confessing our sins and cleaving to him who is faithful and just and willing to forgive our unrighteousness. So I read 1 John 1:9 and I realize, wow, a born-again believer who is a child of God and is securely bound for heaven, they can sin.
Mm.
Now, we're supposed to turn from it, forsake it, and come back to Christ. And sometimes we talk about day-by-day fellowship. Sometimes it might be hour-by-hour fellowship. But the thing is, even though the child fell, stumbled, it doesn't mean they're not born. I mean, it wouldn't be everlasting life. It would be intermittent life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, talk about that for a minute, Jim, that, you know, the whole concept of being a child, you know, the parent-child relationship, sometimes it's pleasing to the parent, sometimes it's displeasing, but the child doesn't get unborn and reborn all over again.
No, they don't. And, you know, Alex, I love my kids, but and they may be listening, they may not be listening, but I want to be clear that I love my children. But sometimes they don't walk and make the best decisions that I think they should make as the father. They ask me what I think about something, I tell them what I think about something, and then they decide to do the exact opposite. So sometimes that, but I don't stop being their dad. And I think that's one of the most critical things to me, to know that we have been adopted into this family, that the blood of Christ was the payment for our adoption into his family. And as you said, at what point does the father stop being the father? At what point does that love run out? And I know from me being a fallen man that the love for my children is never going to run out. Mm-hmm. Now, my patience, however, is another thing. And we may have some serious discussions from time to time. But I think by the same token, we can expect our Heavenly Father to do that. You know, we're told that he chastens whom he loves. And Amen. So there's going to be some correction. There's going to be some correctional steps taken. And so I think that, but again, it comes back to being, you know, as we talked about yesterday, sanctification and then being justified. And these different things, and that goes back to the fellowship that you mentioned with Christ. When if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know how to tell when you've wandered out of the light?
Mm-hmm.
You start seeing shadows.
Wow.
You start seeing some darkness. And friends, when you start wandering that way, and you look back and you say, well, I just don't feel as close to Christ as I do. I don't feel like I can worship today the way I need to. I don't believe I can receive the sermon the way that I need to. Well, that's when you move back towards the light, because trust me, the light of Christ will never be dimmed to the point you can't see it.
Amen.
And so, a moment ago we were talking about the Salvation Army, and I want to be clear. They preach a sound gospel of Jesus. They preach a very sound gospel.
They do.
About that. And so they're a great evangelistic mission. Here's a quote from Catherine Booth, if you will. When you repent enough to forsake your sin, that moment your repentance is sincere and you may take hold of Jesus with a firm grasp. Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The work of Jesus on the cross calls humanity to repentance and faith. And if you look at the life of the apostles, if you look at the life of Paul, then we can move forward with that. And we see that Paul considered himself a Jew's Jew, but he also considered himself the chief sinner. And so he was constantly tweaking how he lived and tweaking the things that he wrote so that he could be sure that he was subservient to Christ. And he was very, that's one of the things we'll talk about tomorrow during baptism. Some say I'm of Apollos, some say I'm, of Paul, and some say I'm of John and different things. But it comes back to Paul wanted to be very clear. He was preaching the gospel of Christ. He was preaching how we needed to live to better serve Christ. Here's a key factor. If people can't tell the difference in you and a non-believer, something's wrong.
Mm. That's true.
That's the fellowship that we talk about.
40 years ago, Josh McDowell asked the question, and I thought it was brilliant the way he phrased it. Josh, as far as I know, originated this question. He said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so our life should be visibly different. Now, let me just say this. I think there are a lot of verses that point to the eternal security of the believer. Jude 24, it says, unto him who is able to keep you. Because, mm-hmm. Our forgiveness and our conversion is all in the power of Jesus, and our perseverance and preservation and eternal security is all in the power of Jesus. So, like we said, we're not saved by works or kept saved, but probably the verse, if there is one verse that have caused people to question, is Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. It's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, to restore them back to repentance. But Bert and I have talked about this. We've exegeted this passage on air. Really, most scholars, and I would agree, the phrase once enlightened from Hebrews 6, 4, refers to people that had awareness of God. They knew about God, maybe in an intellectual sense, but they weren't truly converted. Tasted. I mean, they smelled the steak, but they didn't take a bite. They heard the sizzle, and they smelled the aroma, but they didn't sit down at the table for the meal. And so in light of all the other scriptures that really do seem to point to eternal security, and when you get saved, the righteousness of Christ is imparted to you, Romans 4. The Spirit indwells you and seals you, Ephesians 4:30. It really doesn't seem like you could deny eternal security based on the Hebrews 6 passage.
Mm. Amen. Well, folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we're going to take some of your questions next at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A Franklin Pierce University athlete is cleaning up in women's track, breaking numerous records. That athlete goes by the name CeCe Telfer. Last year, CeCe went by his birth name, Craig, and was a top athlete in the men's division, because Telfer is biologically a man. Telfer has the fastest time of the year for women in the 200-meter dash and is one of the fastest runners in NCAA women's track in any division, though Franklin Pierce is a Division II school. Another example of regressive willingness to trample women in pursuit of gold medals in the intersectionality games.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Cruden's Concordance of the Bible is likely the largest project of compilation ever undertaken by one person.
First published in 1737, even the title's a mouthful. A Complete Concordance to the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, a concordance to the King James Bible. It included the Deuterocanonical books, a Bible nearly 775,000 words long. Think of it, no computer, no indexing, no research assistance, no copy devices. Everything written by hand.
Any verse can be found using any word in the verse. Meanings of passages are explained. Information about Jewish customs and feasts are added. Proper names in the Bible are listed with explanation of words in the original languages, just to name a few features.
Engage with the Bible. It's easier than ever to read and study for yourself this book of books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my
Is it your story? Is it your song? That's our prayer for the program today, that you would understand a little more about who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us on the cross and how that payment was good for all. And it doesn't, that blood, you know, there's another old song of the church, the blood will never lose its power. Andre Amen. Crouch wrote and sang that, and it's a very powerful song. But Alex, as we get ready to take calls, was there anything else you wanted to revisit or kind of put a bow on, if you will, before we move to the callers?
Well, you know, I would just encourage people that when we say eternal security of the believer, some people might glibly say, well, so I guess you're saying we have a license to sin. No, not at all. And Jim, a true spirit-filled born-again believer is not going to think that way anyway, really.
Right.
I have never met a Christian who said, hey, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want. No, not at all. And in fact, if anybody ever had that mindset, I would say, you need to get saved. Because if you have given your life to Jesus and you've experienced that blessed forgiveness of Jesus, you're not going to be wanting to see how much you can sin and anything like that. I mean, you know,
you don't want to push that limit.
Yeah, I mean,
because you're looking to bring others in.
Yeah, the love and the gratitude that overflows the heart of a truly born again child of God would never think that way anyway.
Amen. Good stuff. Well, let's get ready and go ahead and go to the phones. And now, folks, again, this afternoon, we're not looking for a debate. We're not looking for an argument. And so we've handled this topic very respectfully, I think, and we want to handle your calls the same way. So I ask that you show the same respect to us in turn, if you would, and we'll be grateful for that. Because now, please know that if you are disrespectful or try to be just belligerent, then we will drop your call. So as we move forward with those, let's talk to Mary calling from Kansas. Mary, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I believe that you're always saved, but I think there's every day we have to ask Jesus for forgiveness because we are sinners and we can't be perfect like him. So we're always going to have to follow through every day almost with something that you've done and say, Jesus, forgive me. But I think once you ask God to be your Savior, you are saved. And I feel like that on the mind that I would like to tell my grandson from now on, let your mind be controlled by the Spirit of Jesus and in your heart, not by the will of Satan.
Right.
And thank you again. And your music today is beautiful. And happy birthday, Alex. Bye.
God bless you. God
Alex,
bless
is
you.
Today your birthday?
No, it's coming up this weekend.
That's right. I remember you saying that. Well, today is Tim Wildman's birthday.
Is it?
It is.
Well, and happy birthday to Tim Wildman.
We had a donut day this morning, if you will, for the folks that had birthdays this month. And, of course, it just happened to fall on the boss's birthday. Oh, by the way, one other thing, and I do want to comment on what she said. She said that, you know, really, really well. You know, when we think about that, when we talk about being saved, and when we look at what I call the disciples' prayer, most folks call the Lord's Prayer, but in the outline of how we're to pray, that's one of the things that's included in there. One is that we give thanks for our daily bread, and I believe that's physical and spiritual bread that we receive for that day, and then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then, you know, we forgive we want to forgive others. And so when you look through that, model prayer there, be it the Lord's Prayer, because Alex, you know that I think the Lord's Prayer actually comes later in the Bible where he's praying for us there in John for the current disciples and those that will come.
John 17.
Yes, sir. And I know I'm quirky. I get that. You folks know me well enough to know now that I am quirky, but you know, that's one of the things there is that I don't disagree that we ask for forgiveness because it goes back to what I said earlier. When you begin to see the shade, when you begin to see the darkness, when you can tell that your fellowship with your Father, your Heavenly Father, is being impeded.
Compromised.
Great word, Alex. That we do repent. We don't repent for salvation, but we repent for forgiveness from having gone astray and lost that fellowship.
Mm-hmm. And you know, once you've been, you know, you've come to Christ, the Spirit leads you. You know, Jim, I'm gonna tell you, when I first got saved, back at age 21, I had a bad mouth. I mean, I said bad words, and I would, you know, hit my thumb with a hammer, hammering a nail, and I mean, I would let it fly. And after I got saved, I slipped and said a curse word, but there was a difference. I felt bad about it. And I remember the first time or two, I really felt conviction, and I knew something was different. I used to curse a blue streak, and I never felt bad about it.
Mm.
And I remember learning to walk and with the Lord and letting God have... He had my heart, now I was going to give him my vocabulary.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking... You know
that? I do. Absolutely.
And I think everybody listening who's a born-again Christian, you know, it's not that a Christian never stumbles and sins, but you know, because the Spirit of God is in you and sort of has to tap you on the shoulder and say, okay. Jim, have you ever had something that you know you needed to go make right and you had to go maybe apologize to somebody or do something right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is such a great blessing because God kind of leads us by the hand and maybe sometimes has to kind of forcefully lead us to because we're now a Christian and we live by a different roadmap, don't we?
We do. And, you know, we do want to do that. We want to be careful because, again, it goes back to what you and I said earlier. We have to be able to show a difference. If we can't, then something's wrong. Let's talk to Kenny calling from Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, Jim and Alex. Praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim and Alex, I'm never disrespectful to anybody at any time, so please don't cut me short because I do disagree with you vehemently on this subject right here. Okay, 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. One more scripture, please. 1 John 2 and 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you could never fall from grace, if you could never backslide and end up in hell after once being saved, then you would not even have to ask for forgiveness if you sinned. Alex, do you still have a free will?
Oh, all right. Yes. Hey, Kenny, and I want Alex to answer that, but there are a couple of things there, too. You sound like you're a preacher, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. Please understand that. But you sound like you had your motors going, and you were revved up for that, and you delivered your response passionately. But I think we have to be careful when we lift one or two scriptures out, because when you see 1 John, and he does say, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Well, we have need of an advocate because Jesus continues to restore our fellowship. And Alex, I'm going to let you take over at this point.
And yeah, I'll do the second scripture first and the first scripture second. And the 1 John 2 goes on, and you know, 1 John 2:27 says the Spirit that abides in you remains and will teach you all things. So I think the 1 John 2 is clearly talking about believers and believers that stumble and sin, and they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who intercedes for the believers. Isn't that something, that he's on the right hand of the Father interceding for believers? The 2 Peter 2:20, the question is, who does they refer to, quote-unquote, you know, they? And I would say that clearly it doesn't refer to the born-again bride of Christ, but it was referring to people who knew about God but weren't really converted. Let me give you an illustration here. James 2:19 says that the devils believe yet tremble. See, in our English Bible, there's a word that's very often rendered believe. But in the original language, there's two different words. One is a word for head knowledge, but not conversion. Mm-hmm. And the other word, like in Acts 16:31 and John 3:16, is translated believe, but it really means yieldedness and a heart transformation. So I think that the 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 is like James 2:19. The devil knows that God exists. The devil knows that Jesus was born of a virgin and rose from the dead, but he's not saved. And so they that are lost in 2 Peter are people that in their mind they knew about God, but they didn't yet have a born-again, born-from-above relationship with God, like, you know, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So that's an example of, I think the 2 Peter 2 is like the Hebrews 6:4-6, people who knew about Jesus, but they never experienced a conversion.
Amen. Good stuff. Kenny, thank you for your call today, and we do appreciate that.
And we love you, brother.
We do, absolutely. This is, you know, as Alex said earlier, this is not essential to, I think that if you believe that you can fall away, that you're going to live a more fervent Christian life, that you're going to try and draw as close to the Father as you can. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be clear. However, if you think that you can give up a gift that you didn't pay for, that was paid for with the precious blood of the Lamb, if you think that you can lose that hold that Christ has on you, then I think that becomes a matter of prayer. And I would encourage you to look at the scriptures again in their totality to do that. Alex, we're going to try and take one more call, but what we're going to do, we're going to have a song that's going to start in a minute. And I want us to pray over that. And I want us to take and close this out with prayer. And so, I don't think we are going to take another call because that's going to start any moment now.
Hey, can I read a song lyric right quick?
Yes, please.
Oh, you know, the hymns have so much great truth. There was this hymn writer, Horatius Bonar, who wrote, I Hear the Voice of Jesus Say. He wrote a lot of good songs, but one he wrote called I Lay My Sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. Mm. Isn't it good that in Christ we are washed clean?
Amen. Absolutely. And it's not a washing that we could give ourselves. It's a washing that had to come from Christ. And so, folks, today we've had both views presented, and we ask that you would take and you would look at again at the Scriptures and in their totality. Pray that you would grow closer to Christ. Alex, there is one question with today, and that we have Bruce from Oklahoma ask if we should participate in Ash Wednesday. Can you cover that in about 45 seconds?
I think it's fine too, because people would, in the spirit of contrition, you don't hear that word a lot, but being sorry for sins, you know, people would put ashes, early Christians would put ashes on their head. I know that's more associated with one or two denominations now, but I think it would be fine too, because it expresses remorse and contrition over sin.
Amen. I agree. Folks, thank you again for participating today. Fire Away Friday's coming up. If we didn't get to your question today, we'll try and get to it then. And also tomorrow, join us as we're going to talk about the different types of baptism. Mm-hmm. I think that's a program that you'll enjoy immensely. Alex, thanks for letting me be with you today.
God bless you, Jim, and God bless all the listeners.
Amen. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to listen to the rest of the song that's playing. I think you'll enjoy it. Father, today, we thank you that you gave your Son for us. And Father, we ask that you would draw us closer to you than ever before. Right our wrongs, show us where we've wandered, bring us back to you. And Father, help us to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. In Christ's name, amen.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.